Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast for Mesa Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Giardi and Scotty White here with you, recording on Monday night, April 4th, as we head into Tuesday, April 5th. Coming off a big weekend where, we had a little spring football action, televised, actually felt almost like a game, so we got a lot of takeaways from that game on Saturday. Scotty White, how's it going here tonight, my man?
Pretty good, man. It was nice to see some football this past weekend. Felt good to be back in the big house. It really did, man. It had the game day feel. It felt like a fall day, especially with the weather. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. There were some cool things that happened.
Oh God, the weather, man. It has been something here in the state of Michigan, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude. This morning in Ann Arbor, I saw literally the biggest snowflakes I have ever seen in my life coming down. It was insane.
Happy April in the Midwest, especially in the state of Michigan, man. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, like you mentioned, it did feel like a fall day, you know, at least up here as well. Obviously, I'm not in Ann Arbor, but it's kind of felt like fall more so than spring as of late. I feel like I haven't seen the sun in about a week or two now. But, I mean, it was good to be able to watch that game and see these guys compete. And this feels, I remember, you know, some spring games and watch spring games, they felt more like kind of practices, right? This actually felt like a game, Scotty. I was enjoying this.
Yeah, dude, it was very much like a game, like game speed. I mean, obviously there were points where one team had two possessions in a row, but other than that, like they looked, felt, fans were engaged, like it felt like a game.
Yeah, and I think it should be like that because that's what it is, the spring game. But, you know, you've seen it in the past where they'll, like, just move the football and they'll stop plays and they'll be coaching. This was, yeah. I think, Coach Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, decided he wanted that game feel. And he let two guys, his assistants, coach, you know, one of the teams each. And he was just kind of, he felt kind of hands off in this whole ordeal, which I thought was pretty cool as well. And they just, you know, ran the 12-minute quarters for the first three, extended a little bit in the fourth, and playing for something on the line, the steaks and the hot dogs. I thought that was a cool little bit as well, you know. So, I mean, everything's a competition, you know, for Michigan football. And I loved to see the guys compete out there. And seeing these guys fired up for this game, too, that was a little extra something as well, because they didn't feel like it was a practice or a scrimmage. They were out there competing their tails off, and that contributed to the game-like feel.
Dude, yeah, I mean, and that's what you love to see, too, you know? Like, that gets me excited for the season, knowing these guys, just when they're going up against their own teammates, like, you can tell it's a competitive group. But also, and it was funny, too. I mean, dude, their celebrations were awesome. They had the keg stand one, the limbo, and then the interview. Devin Gardner was interviewing Ronnie Bell, and he just takes off after the Clemens touchdown. That was hilarious. It was great, and Harbaugh was cracking me up, too, dude. I mean, like, he gave Like, he gave a flag at one point for excessive celebration. Like, he's going and having replay reviews during the spring game. In the fourth quarter, he even said, like, pass interferences and stuff like that can be, like, video reviewed. Like, he just cracks me up, man.
That was having the video review down there, and it literally came into play when Cornelius Johnson picked up the fumble and they went to review and found out that the player was down. That actually really hurt the Mays team, because that would have been a big touchdown given the final score was Blue 20 and Mays 12, and Mays was driving at the end there and with something on the line playing for Steaks and Hot Dogs. It was actually a big thing for those kids to have that replay review.
Yeah, dude, that was a huge play. And, man, I don't know about you, I'm not a big hot dog guy. So I'd really be pushing for that steak dinner, man.
That's what it felt like. I liked that something was on the line, you know, instead, because that really, there is a little extra incentive, and it breeds competition, and it kind of breeds the mentality that no matter what, no matter who you're playing or what the circumstances are, and, you know, I might be thinking a little too deep into this, but given the, you know, what Michigan's schedule looks like in the first month, there could be times where, you know, Michigan shows up simply expecting to win because, you know, they're going to be playing inferior opponents those first 4 weeks. So I think doing something like that, even in the spring game, really adds to that mentality that no matter what, no matter who, no matter where, you come in and you bring your A game.
Yeah, definitely, dude. And I think it's great too, because I mean, I don't know where else you're going to see a more interesting spring game than that. I mean, you've got these celebrations, you've got something on the line, you've got Colin Kaepernick doing a throwing exercise during halftime. I mean, honestly, like, Michigan brought out all of the stops for their spring game this year. And, dude, I had a ton of fun there watching it, covering the game. Like, it was great. That was actually the first spring game that I've been to, and it was a ton of fun.
What was the atmosphere like at the Big House?
It was good. I mean, I would say probably 20% filled up. But, I mean, the fans, they were getting into it. I even, when I was walking from my house to the stadium, there were some people out tailgating for the game. So it was a pretty good atmosphere. I liked it.
Yeah, I heard there, or the broadcast said it was about 20,000 people there, which, I mean, it's pretty good for a spring game. Yeah. You know, yeah, especially given the weather.
Yeah, dude, the weather was not great. It was pretty cold, and still to get 20,000 out for the spring game and that was good. And yeah, I don't know when, like, Michigan State or Ohio State have their spring game, but it's a shame because I saw it's supposed to be like 65 degrees and sunny in like a week or so. So that would have been a little bit better, but it is what it is.
That would have really turned it into a party, man. You imagine the tailgaters for that.
Oh yeah. Would have had everybody out there.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about some takeaways from the spring game. As we mentioned, 20-12 final, the Blue take down the Maze. It was a little interesting, you know, going in, we knew we weren't going to see J.J. McCarthy, unfortunately. I mean, that was going to be a pretty big stage, because I'm guessing Cade would have been quarterback in one group, J.J. quarterback in the other group, which would have been really cool to see. Instead, they had Cade, a couple possessions for each team, kind of like the all-time quarterback role, I should say. And, I mean, at the end of the day, look, we got enough on Cade from last year. I don't really have any takeaways from Cade McNamara in this game. It was meh, kind of. He took a couple deep shots to open the spring game, but then after the first couple of deep throws that he took, he kind of went into checkdown mode, which I would have liked to see him take a couple of more chances, but he's also, I don't know, it's probably a tough tough situation for him as well, because he's playing both sides. Like, he doesn't have the dinner thing on the line, right? Like, he's part of the winning team no matter what here, so I'm sure he didn't want to, you know, jeopardize someone else when he's not, like, fully engaged with that team, you know? So, but I would have liked to see him take a couple more chances instead of checking down on third and long and things like that. But other than that, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to take anything away from this game regarding Cade.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely, I mean, I think he was 3 for 7 for 16 yards. I mean, it's the spring game. I personally am not one to overreact, but I've seen a lot of people on Twitter doing that.
I'm shocked, Scotty. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, he said in the post game that he told himself if he didn't get 2 touchdowns, he was going to be eaten. He said glizzies. So that's what he ended up having after the game, because he did not have 2 touchdowns. But yeah, dude, I would going into this offseason, I was like, I had my eye on the spring game because I was like, oh man, like this fan base is going to be going crazy seeing a one JJ McCarthy led team against a Cade McNamara led team. But yeah, I mean, dude, we saw him last year. Cade, he does that, you know, he's not that big of a risk taker, which I think limits him a little, but I mean, it also helped. I mean, last year, like Michigan really didn't need a risk taking quarterback, mm-hmm. like with the run game that they had, and Cade took care of the ball. And that's really what they needed from him. Like he did his job. And I think that maybe Michigan might not even need that this year with the running back room that they have, but that's the difference in my eyes between him and JJ. I mean, you could see, and for example, in the Michigan State game last year, JJ had an easy check down to the tight end on his touchdown pass, and he took the risk. He went up to Andrell, and Andrell made a play. I feel like if Cade were in the game at that point, he probably wouldn't have taken that throw to the end zone. But yeah, I mean, Cade does that. He takes good care of the ball. I mean, they're both really good quarterbacks, and I'm excited to see the competition build up when JJ gets back.
Yeah, that is going to be a whole lot of fun. I do wish we could see JJ. He was out there holding a little bit, but
yeah.
I mean, just hope that shoulder's going to be good, because that is going to be a heck of a battle in fall camp. You know, I don't really think it hurts him that much, missing a ton of time here in the spring, because I mean, he's that talented, and he's going to have every opportunity to win that starting job in the fall.
Yeah, dude. I mean, his arm talent is ridiculous. And dude, I really like, I don't understand the whole Cade versus JJ Twitter thing. Like, I don't like it, because it almost seems like people are rooting for one quarterback to like be bad. And I just don't understand it.
It is weird. It's weird behavior for sure. It's weird energy. I don't like it either. May the best man win. Whoever the coach is, look, I got full confidence in Jim Harbaugh, Matt Weiss, and Sherrone Moore to go with the guy that's going to give the team the best chance to win, you know? And that's what it's all about, because as we, you know, start looking at this team, there's a ton of talent, particularly on the offensive side of the football. What's the best way that they can utilize that talent? Is it going to be with a guy like J.J. McCarthy that, I mean, let's be honest, he's got way more arm talent than Cade McNamara, but Cade is a Big Ten championship winning quarterback. He didn't turn the ball over last year. I mean, multiple ways you could go with this. Whichever guy is going to give Michigan the best chance to win, that's who the coaching staff is going to go with. I don't think they're going to play favorites here, and I fully trust them, you know, more so than the limited stuff that we get to see.
Right. I'm going to go with I'm going to trust the coaches more than the people that I am reading tweets from on Twitter. I mean, yeah, dude, like we're way past the level of competition where we're playing favorites and playing a guy because they've been there longer or anything like that. This is about winning. The coaches know that. And dude, like those two are going to, like, they're both good quarterbacks. They're going to compete and make each other better. No matter what the option is, like they're both good quarterbacks. So it's going to be fine no matter what.
Speaking of impressive arm talent, man, Davis Warren, 2018 yep. walk-on. This kid's got a cannon, man.
Dude, he can sling it. He was throwing the deep ball. He was throwing into some tight windows. He was honestly like, I mean, I'd heard his name, but I'd never seen him play, obviously. And he was probably the player that impressed me the most, just because, you know, I just had no idea he had that in him.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, this is a guy who just came onto the scene. I know he's been through some struggles since walking on in 2018, and to get here and make some of the throws that he was able to, the one down the sideline at Donovan Edwards was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. He was out there moving in the pocket, throwing on the move. I mean, this kid's got some talent, man. I don't know if there's really a path for him to quarterback at the University of Michigan without a major injury with Cade and JJ in front of him, but he's got some serious talent, man, and I saw someone mention this on Twitter, and I'm not trying to kick the guy off the team or anything like that. Obviously, I'd love to have him in the quarterback room because he's got talent, but I think he could be a starting Power 5 quarterback somewhere, given what we saw to the spring game. Obviously, that sounds ridiculous, right? Like, oh my God, you just saw him in the spring game. But, I mean, the arm talent that he's got, the reads that he was making, I do think that he could start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it was just the spring game, but, I mean, he was still making some really impressive throws. He had a couple really nice deep balls. But I mean, it was just, he's got some zip on it too. That was what really impressed me. Like he was zipping it in there. And when you have a tight window throw, like you've got to put some speed on it. And he was doing that and throwing it right on the money. Like he's good.
He is good, man. That's three pretty good quarterbacks I think Michigan's got right now in the QB room. Another guy that I'm very intrigued by here, Scotty, is Alex Orji, the true freshman. Yeah. Dude, this guy is an elite athlete.
He is, dude. I mean, his like first snap of the game, I thought it was going to be a touchdown. So did Harbaugh. I saw a picture of him like with his arms up. But yeah, he's going to be – he can run it. He's got a cannon too. Like he would kind of throw – like he had some overthrows because, you know, he kind of some Joe Milton-like throws. But I hope he'll be able to find the control because he's got an arm.
Yeah, so we'll see what, you know, what they're able to do with him. I would imagine – probably a redshirt season for him, given the guys that are in front of him. And if they can develop him, I think he's got talent. He might be a guy to keep an eye on in a couple of years here.
Dude, I totally agree. I was just thinking about that earlier today. Like, I could totally see him being a starter down the road. And really all the quarterbacks. I mean, obviously, like, Cade really, like, he didn't have he threw the ball seven times. Like, we know Cade has talent. But all the other quarterbacks, Bowman had some really nice throws too. He gave one. I mean, the catch from Clemens was ridiculous. That was amazing. But Bowman had a couple touchdown passes. Like, Michigan's got a lot of talented quarterbacks.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Who else impressed you from this spring game? I've got a few guys I'm thinking of here. Who did you like?
Well, obviously there was Darius Clemens, the freshman wide receiver. You know, I was particularly excited about him going into the game, just, you know, knowing that he's capable of those plays and being able to see one in his first, you know, obviously it's a spring game, but his first game. And I think he had three catches for 52 yards, I want to say, but obviously the highlight touchdown, I mean, that impressed me. Laying out, that was a really good catch. So he was definitely one that stood out. But also Sainer still on defense, man. He was really good in coverage, and that was really good to see.
Man, Sainer still made on the first possession, I think it was third down, right? And he read that vertical route beautifully and made an incredible play on the football. I think that could potentially be a major, major thing and a major storyline in addition to the defense here in 2022, because when I look at it, he's got great instincts from what I could tell playing in the nickel and being able to cover guys. He obviously knows the receiver position very well. So that could be like almost a Trayvon Diggs thing, right? Like he went to Alabama as a wide receiver. Nick Saban moved him to defensive back. So he's got the skills of a wide receiver and the mind of a wide receiver. And now the skills of a defensive back, using that to play against the wide receivers. I mean, it's obviously, you know, people can point whatever they want to Trayvon Diggs in the NFL and the amount of yards he gave up, but my goodness, he had 11 interceptions in the NFL. That's not an easy thing to do. I think Mike Sanders still could make that transition, and I think that could be a major asset to this defense because, look, at the end of the day, man, the wide receiver room, Scotty, is unreal stacked. You've got Ronnie Bell coming back. You've got Andrell Anthony. I think Darius Clemens is going to be a day one starter, given what we saw in the spring game and all the rumbling surrounding camp. You've got Cornelius Johnson. You've got Roman Wilson. You've got A.J. Henning. At the end of the day, the wide receiver room is unreal talented. And Mike Sanders still is a great talent as well. But if he is able to do that on the defensive side of the football, where maybe you feel like you might have a little bit of weakness, I mean, it could be a major, major storyline if Michigan is successful here in this 2022 campaign.
Yeah, dude, I mean, that would be huge. I was not expecting, like that was, like you said, it was the first drive of the game, perfect coverage right away. And like you said, like literally you were just naming those wide receivers and I just like started smiling because I'm just so excited for that. Cause that wide receiver room is so talented. But yeah, dude. And you know what else impressed me was Jermond Green. And specifically because last year, for example, in the Ohio State game, there were a lot of opportunities for Michigan to bury them, win that game on long third downs and fourth downs, and Michigan couldn't get the stop. And he had two key pass breakups. One was on a third and goal, and one was on a fourth and goal, both in the end zone. And he was in perfect coverage, got the stops, forced a kick, and forced a turnover on one of them. Like, being able to get those stops in those clutch situations, I feel like Michigan kind of didn't do last year at times. And seeing that was really big and stood out to me.
Yeah, I'm also excited for a couple other true freshmen on that side of the football, Will Johnson and Keon Sab. Will Johnson, man, he had great coverage on, was it Blue's first possession, Mays' first possession, I mean, because he was on the Blue team. When they were driving, they had third down and within striking distance of the end zone. And Davis Warren threw it up. I can't remember. I think it was Cornelius Johnson, maybe he was looking for in the end zone. And Will Johnson, beautiful coverage. Warren missed him, threw it over the top, but it probably would have been intercepted if that ball was anywhere close. I mean, he's beautiful coverage, and he's only going to get better as he gets into fall camp. Like, these are early enrollee guys that, you know, Will Johnson and Keon Sabatarius Clements. And I mean, these are just early enrollee guys making plays out here in the spring game. Can't imagine what a full fall camp and a couple of probably, you know, ease-in games to this season when you take a look at the schedule are going to have for these guys, man. So I think there's some serious true freshman day one contributors that are really going to help this team.
Yeah, and dude, I mean, think about it. Like, these guys are going up against guys that just won a Big Ten championship and went to the college football playoff. Like, they're practicing against some of the best players in the country right now, one of the best teams in the country. And with all the talent that Michigan lost a year ago, just being able to see some of these true freshmen just come in and like immediately stand out in the spring game is just like, that just makes me so confident going into the season that they're going to be able to pick up that slack that Michigan lost. Because Michigan, they lost a lot of talent last year.
Yeah, especially on the defensive side of the football. Look, the offensive side of the football, I think, is probably going to be okay, you know, because you're returning a ton of talent on the offensive line and bringing in an All-American center to replace the need. And you've got two quarterbacks returning that got the most playing time last year. I mentioned the receiver room and then the running back room. Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards looked fantastic on Saturday.
Yeah, and dude, so did Tavier Dunlap, honestly.
Yeah, and how about, and then Kalel Mullins. I mean, he could be a guy that could get some carries as well. He's a big body. He can rumble. He's a linebacker as well. Can we think of anyone that, you know, maybe recently convert that, you know, was playing linebacker and then went to running back and had some success? I can think of maybe a guy named Hassan Haskins, but, you know.
Maybe.
So
Wouldn't mind to have another one of those.
Right? I thought, you know, Kalel Mullins, he almost had the fumble down near the end zone, but, I mean, he had a big run there in that first half. I thought he looked pretty good. Corum, that injury is behind him, man. He was looking explosive out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then Donovan Edwards is going to be a weapon, Scotty.
Yep.
I mean, this guy running routes, catching the football. I mean, he beat Nakai Hill Green on the sideline for that catch on that first possession, a beautiful ball from Davis Warren. He smoked him. I mean, dude, Donovan Edwards, if I'm Sherrone Moore, right, I am probably thanking my lucky stars every night I go to sleep. I don't even know if Sherrone Moore can sleep thinking of all the beautiful creative ways he's going to be able to use Donovan Edwards here this year.
Dude, seriously, I mean, he had the big game against Maryland with other receivers. Like, he can catch, he obviously can run, and he can throw, dude. I mean, you can do so much with him. And hey, I guess we can throw with Eric All, too.
Dude,
he threw a dime.
Eric All had one of the best throws of the spring game, man. He threw that, he dropped that into like triple coverage, like just one little hole in the zone, and he just dropped that thing right in there, man.
Dude, that was a beautiful pass. Did he used to be a quarterback recruit, or am I thinking of someone else? I might be thinking of someone else.
Okay.
But I mean, maybe he was, because that was a perfect throw.
Or were you thinking of Zach Gentry?
Yes, I think I was.
Okay.
Yes. But I mean, shit, dude, Eric Gall, that was a perfect throw. So
gorgeous,
well,
dude. I mean, even got Darius Clemens throwing in the spring game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see. Maybe we'll have a lot of trick plays this year with all the talent, all the guys that can just do it all. But yeah, dude, I mean, the fact that Michigan like had Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum last year, and then now this year we get Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. I mean, that's just incredible.
Oh my God, man. And the beauty of it is Sherrone Moore. I mean, you know, with the blue team, was those trick plays. They look good, man. And, you know, we saw it towards the end of last year. I know Michigan was running the flea flicker early on and everything like that, but Michigan got way more creative as the season went on. I wouldn't be that surprised to see Michigan use a lot of that just in their base offense here this year, just a lot of misdirection, trick plays, whatever, dude, because they've just got playmakers all over the field.
They do, man.
The end of the day, what is the point of football, right? It's to move the football down the field and to score. I don't care how you get it done, whether it's trick plays, whether it's pounding the rock, whether it's a combination of all of everything. Give me it. Give me all of it.
Yep. And I think Michigan is going to have a good, healthy mix of it all. And yeah, dude, the flea flicker worked so well. I mean, the touchdown pass against Wisconsin worked for a big chunk play against Ohio State. I want to see more of the trick plays on the kick returns, like that one against Maryland. And oh my gosh, dude. I mean, there's just so much that they can do with who they have on the field. Like, oh my gosh, dude, Donovan Edwards. I can't wait. I just can't wait for the season, honestly. Like, that's the one tough thing about the spring game is, like, you get that taste. And, like, I'm always just waiting all year for football to come. And you get that taste, and then it goes away for, like, four more months. Like, I'm ready for the season now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, obviously, the big question mark, right, is amongst the defensive line. I don't know how much – so this is the one aspect of the spring game that I'm not 100% sure on, right? Because I thought at times the defensive line did a great job of clogging holes against some good offensive linemen, but also mix and matched offensive linemen, you know, between the teams. You weren't allowed to hit Cade McNamara. He took a air quote sack early on in the first quarter. I don't know. I can't really judge. The one aspect of this game I'm not taking a whole lot away from is the defensive line play. I need to see it against a full starting offensive line unit in a game situation, though I think the concerns might be a little overstated. At the end of the day, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he loves his guys. He thinks the defensive line is going to be just fine. I think Taylor Shaw could be an absolute stud here this year. You know, you've got Mozzie Smith anchoring it. Mike Morris is going to be good. We've heard great things about Mike Morris. So, I don't know. I think it could be a little overstated. I think the defensive line, while it's not going to be last year because, you know, before David Ojabo tore his Achilles or ruptured his Achilles, Michigan was going to have probably two top 10 edge picks, you know, in the NFL draft. You're not going to replace that. It's almost impossible, but I think the concerns amongst that front four might be a little overstated.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's really hard to tell. I mean, there were some big runs. They also had some good stops. They got some pressure. But yeah, like you said, like they're mixed and match. It's tough to tell. But yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that these guys have is that they did play, most of them, except for, like, unless they're a true freshman, they played last year, you know, with Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. And so they still saw, you know, how these guys played. They had great leaders. So, you know, that those guys were grooming them all year. Like, they know that their time is going to come. And Elston was kind of saying the same thing. Like, you're not going to replace those two guys. They just have to be their own players. Like, we know that these guys have talent. They wouldn't be here if they didn't. So, you know, they're not going to be Aiden Hutchinson or David Ojabo. They're going to be Chris Jenkins or Mozzie Smith. Like, they're going to be their own guys, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's not going to be as much of a transition. Obviously, I think Jesse Minter, he's a different guy than Mike McDonald, but pretty much the same scheme, and that's the reason Jesse Minter was hired as the defensive coordinator. So I think that's going to play a big part into it as well, that these guys can just pick up where they left off a year ago and working and filling in, obviously, with guys like Hutchinson and Ajabo, but watching those guys and be able to study them and what they were able to do, I think is going to have a big impact as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing that's going to be huge, like, obviously you lose Hutch and Jabo on the field, but I mean, just hearing how the team talked about specifically Aiden Hutchinson as a leader last year, I mean, like, he had everybody doing extra stuff, like being in the weight room every day. Like, somebody has to pick up that kind of slack in the leadership role and, you know, be that kind of guy that pushes the whole team, because coach-led teams can be good, but it's the player-led teams that are great.
Well, and here's the thing, and I was actually thinking about this today. I think that that is something that may be of, I don't want to say it's concerning or anything like that. I think that's a word that would make it a little hyperbolic, but you're losing two massive leaders in Aiden Hutchinson and Hassan Haskins. And we kind of saw it firsthand going back to 2006, 2007, when, you know, Michigan was coming off a great 2006 season, obviously ended, you know, not so great with the loss to Columbus in the game of the year, but or game of the century, they dubbed it, you know. But after that year, Michigan was obviously returning a ton of talent, right? You were returning Chad Henne, you were returning Jake Long, you were returning Mike Hart, and all of a sudden, you know, they're starting top five. They lose to App State. What happened? And hearing the stories, you know, from kind of a few years down the road, is they lost a guy like Lamar Woodley, you know, and some of the senior leaders on that year from or on the team from 2006. And there was kind of a leadership vacancy on that 2007 squad that they didn't have that same attitude. I'm not saying that that is going to happen here with the 2022 squad, but it's also something to keep in the back of the mind. Who is going to step up? Obviously, Cade McNamara, you know, might be a guy, but what if he loses out that job to J.J. McCarthy? Where is the leadership going to come from on this team? Because that's what it was last year. It was a player-led team at the end of the day. You know, all of those guys holding each other accountable. They need to have that here this year. And if they have that, they can be special. The question is, where is it going to come from?
Right. And it's so hard to emulate what Hutch did. I mean, like, just from the things that I heard, like, I'm not, dude, anything that dude tells me to do, I'm doing it. Like, you know, you can just tell how good of a leader he is. And you know, you said if Cade loses that job to JJ, JJ seems like he's the type of player that could be a leader.
He does sound like he's a heck of a leader as well.
Dude, like, you can just tell. He unfortunately only got him up at the press conferences once last fall. But, I mean, people were just asking him questions for literally, like, 30 minutes because it was just, like, so fun to talk to him. And, like, he definitely seems like he's going to be one of those players. I mean, even last year, like, he wasn't the starting quarterback, but you could tell, like, he was leading people. He was leading those workouts on the field, like, right when they got back from Wisconsin. So he's definitely a player that can pick up some of that slack. Like, even if he doesn't win the starting job, like, he's a good leader. He's a natural leader.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be some leadership on that team. It's just going to be a matter of stepping up and doing it, you know, at the end of the day. So this team definitely has a chance to be special once again, man. They are loaded with talent, and we saw it all out there on the spring game on Saturday.
Dude, they really are. I mean, like you said, especially on offense, and I just cannot wait for this season. It cannot get here soon enough.
You got any final takeaways on the spring game here, Scotty?
I don't think so. I think I mostly got all my thoughts out there.
Alrighty. So real quick, also coming up here this week, we're going to transition to hockey. Michigan in the Frozen Four, taking on Denver in the semifinal. If they win, they will play the winner of Minnesota State, Mankato, and Minnesota. So Michigan, they're here. They made it to the Frozen Four. I mean, we knew coming into this year, Scotty, that this team was uber talented. Four of the top five draft picks in the NHL draft on this Michigan team. They could put up goals with the best of them. At times, you know, out on the blue line, things are a little bit dicey for this team at times, you know. Obviously gave up some goals to Quinnipiac that when you already had kind of had the game in hand, had to throw a couple in late to make that score a little bit better. You know, we've seen that with this team here this year, but they are the favorite to win the national championship. You know, it's been a fun team to watch all year, Scotty. And, you know, what are you thinking about when you think Frozen Four here?
I'm excited, man. I mean, this I live right by Yost, so I was able to go to a lot of games this year. And man, that is a fun team to watch. I got to go to a couple of the Michigan State games specifically, and they beat them like 7-0. It's hilarious. but yeah, dude, I'm excited to watch this. Like, I mean, four out of the top five, like that is ridiculous. Like that doesn't happen. And you know, it's crazy though. Like the expectations are just so high. Like, the season kind of seems like a disappointment if they don't win the national championship, which is just insane.
Yeah. I mean, what a squad this is, obviously, for Mel Pearson in company. But I feel like, yeah, if they don't win a national title here, Scotty, and I mean, it seems crazy with the amount of pressure, but with the stacked roster that you have, you know, hockey's a weird sport. Anything can happen, but Michigan's got to go win this thing, man.
Oh yeah, dude. And I like their chances, man. Like they are a crazy good team. They're so fun to watch. And I was really hoping to be able to go to this. But unfortunately I'm not going to be able to because I have class. But yeah, I mean, they're the favorites. They got to go out and take care of business. I don't know if you remember the national championship when they played Minnesota Duluth, where they got like two goals called back. I remember watching when I was very young, but I still think about that game and I want that taste out of my mouth. And so they need to get this natty.
Yeah, well, that was what, 2016, 2017, something like that?
I think it was like 2012 or something. Okay. They made the Frozen Four.
That was Frozen Four, yeah. That I'm thinking of, yeah.
And I think they lost to Notre Dame.
Yes,
on
that's
the
right.
Last second
yep.
goal. That
that's
was
right.
upsetting as well.
Yeah. So interesting matchup here with Denver, because the NCHC, crazy good hockey conference here this year. Denver tied with North Dakota at the top of the standings in points here in the regular season. It's a very good Denver team that's played a grueling schedule. They are battle-tested. This is not going to be an easy semifinal game for Michigan. They are favored in the game, but Denver can surprise you. There's no, I don't even know if it's a surprise. They were the regular season champions of the NCHC, which put five teams out of 16 in the NCAA tournament. And then on the flip side of that, you've got a Minnesota team that you battled in the Big Ten with all year. And then you've got Minnesota State, who was number one this year for quite a bit of the year, number one in the pairwise for quite a bit of the year. And they've got probably the Richter winner, maybe the Hobie Baker winner in Dryden McKay in net. And I would love to see this Michigan offense go up against that defense, and in particular Dryden McKay in the national championship game. Man, that would be awesome.
Dude, that would be so fun to watch. Yeah, I mean, I felt like in the first two rounds, like Michigan seemed like they were overpowering their opponents. Obviously, in that round two game, things got a little close at the end. But, I mean, they went into that third period up 4-0. But now, like you said, dude, like these are three really good hockey teams that are right up there with Michigan. Like they can't have another instance like that in the third period where they fall asleep and give up three quick goals like that, or they will get knocked out of this tournament. That kind of thing can't happen against teams like Denver, Minnesota, Minnesota State. And that's the funny thing about hockey too, dude. It's like these schools that you never heard of are just like insanely good for some reason, you know?
Yeah, and obviously I've heard of them. So you know, I'm up here in Marquette, and we've got Northern Michigan here. They play in the same conference as Minnesota State, so they've been in the thorn of the WCHA side in years past. Now this year, the CCHA. You know, for Denver, I mean, they've got a great tradition in the past. Not like, you know, Minnesota, but great tradition in the past, formerly of the WCHA, now in the NCHC, and they've got great hockey tradition out in Denver, you know, out west, which is, you know, don't really think of it. Of course, you had the Avs for quite a few years, you know, at the top of their game. The Red Wing fans know all about that, but no, man, it's a great Frozen Four. I'm looking forward to it. No question about it. The interesting thing is Michigan was playing incredible hockey. Like, they were scoring goals at will in those first two games. Now you've got 2 weeks off, Scotty, between, you know, your regional final there in the Frozen Four coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how I feel about that. I kind of thought that it should have been this past weekend, the Frozen Four National Championship. And I don't remember. Do they do that every single year?
Yes, they do, because they are not going to compete with men's basketball.
Yeah, that is a good point. That's tricky. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like when the Tigers sweep in the ALCS and then get swept in the World Series, because they have such a long break. Like, that's definitely one concern that I have. But I mean, with the talent on this team, I mean, you just got to think like they're going to come ready to go.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's just, there's always a little rust to knock off, you know, and it's a 5 o'clock start on Thursday, by the way, which is it feels so weird for a Frozen Four game.
Yeah, I guess the one good thing too is, you know, all of these teams are on the same schedule. Like, they've also had 2 weeks off. So everyone's going to be in the same boat. There will be a little bit of rust to knock off in the beginning. But, you know, I think they'll pick things up quickly.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully this time next week we're talking Michigan national champions.
I would love to end my Michigan college career by seeing a Michigan hockey national championship. What a way to go out that would be.
God, that would be sick. So we'll see what happens, and we'll be talking about it next week here on the show. Scotty, where can we find you on social media?
You guys can give me a follow on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_, covering the baseball season right now as that starts to get into full swing. You can give me a follow there. Twitter, @ScottyWhite_.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Gherardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Maize and Brew page on there as well at Maize and Brew. Please subscribe, rate, leave a review for our shows. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the support as well. Wherever you get your shows, man, we're everywhere, and we've got a lot of great content, a lot of great shows here on the Maize and Brew Podcast Network. So for Scotty White, I'm Luke Gherardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.